Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Blood River Radio, thank you so very much for holding on to, for the second hour. You know, we got Gene Andrews coming on in just a minute. I didn't read the letters and stuff for the first hour, so I'm going to catch up reading a couple letters we got from our listeners, and we got some great donors, too. I'm going to read this one quick. He says, Dear Eddie, I hope this check helps to get you to Charlottesville to hold court accountable. It would be nice if you could have Lee Cochran look into 56 chemtrails in HAARP. I believe that's what he said, HAARP. Thanks for good reporting on the Hula Hawks. I studied it a good bit, but always struggled with teaching it. He says, I hope to one day drink coffee with you and Lee at Ugly Mug. Ugly Mug is one of the places we always drink coffee here in Memphis, me and O'Lee. Here's another quick letter. I won't read the whole thing. It's pretty long. It says, Eddie, by the way, that letter was from a country boy fresh of North Mississippi. He sent a great donation. I tell you what, he's a really good donation for in case we go to Charlottesville. We've earmarked that when we have to go to Charlottesville with Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs. We'll probably have to go in March or April for that court thing again. This one here is from, let me look over the back, from Steve from Baltimore. Anyway, he says, here is a little lettuce to support Blood River Radio. I've heard each show since August. You, get this, and this is why I saved this letter for the second hour. It says, you, and especially Gene Andrews, are really doing it. You've nailed it really down, the 75 years of business of the Holocaust. He says, if you can say these words on the show, startled on Good Friday. Can't read the rest of this. Anyway, we get this. This is from, I can't read a lot of it. This is from Steve from Baltimore. I'll have to read the rest of it later when maybe in the next show. But, we also got, listen, I got this card from Jim Baker. He's one of our great friends, Jim, and he sent me this card. It says, it's got a picture of a beautiful red pickup truck. It says Eddie's pickup truck. He sent a really nice donation. They're really backing us in case we go to Charlottesville. We also had a donor from. I'll have to read it. I'll have to look and see his name on the break. No, here we go. Here we go. We got from Dennis and Pat in Idaho. They've just moved from California. They're living in Idaho right now. They've been supporting us pretty good, but they know we've got to go to Charlottesville. And without people like that, we wouldn't be on the air. And we announced a week or two ago how we were able to pay our dues for a year in advance. Hopefully we don't get taken down. If we get taken down, we get taken down. That's just the way it is, people. We can't quit fighting. But anyway, I wanted to read that. And I'd also like to just, I don't want to take up too much time, but, you know, let's see, the 12th Tuesday will be my 53rd wedding anniversary. Can't believe I've been alive that long. He's got a great card right here from my daughter. She says, happy anniversary, Mom and Dad. I love you, Robin. And my son-in-law, golly, he says, happy anniversary to the best in-laws, lovebirds in the whole world. I love that guy to death. And his name is Joe. And we got a great letter, a little card from my grandson. Boy, I just idolized that kid. He's the light of my life. Anyway, putting all this aside, I just wanted to get that red. To all you people, we're kind of sentimental here at Blood River. We're not fixing bayonets and cutting off heads every second of the day, but we do the best we can. But anyway, without further ado, we'll bring the number one star of this show on, of Gene Andrews, the guy that who gets all the mail around here. Doggone it! How you doing tonight, Gene?
Well, I guess I'll have to unfix my bayonet then. I was all ready to go, bayonet people and cut off heads.
Well, no, listen. Keep it handy though. Now, hey, keep that bayonet handy.
Lord of mercy, we may need it. No kidding.
we sure will. You know, I read. I don't know if you were on the. I read this quote of the first hour, and I don't usually do this, but I'm gonna do this again. And I'm gonna set the table and get you to kind of break it down, Gene, if you don't mind. Our webmaster guy, the guy's a whiz. He has really straightened our show up. He's got our web running great, man. He got those archives loaded up. He gets the whole nine yards done really quick. Here's what he sent me, this thing. He's talking about the election, and he sent a website here. I won't pull that up. He says, the way I see it, he's talking about the election and what just how it just got stolen, you know, all the corruption. Mm-hmm. The way I see it, this is a worse is better scenario. He said, this is a situation where worse is better. With the demographics situation deteriorating each and every day and Trump doing nothing to stop it, acceleration is desirable. He energized white Americans, at least to be patriotic in a civic and nationalist sort of way. And he managed to make it clear to anyone with ears to hear and eyes to see that the system is broken, completely corrupt and illegitimate. I give him credit for that. It's a stepping stone. Now, the genuine American nationalists need to get organized and take action. They need to seize back power from the communists who have overthrown the Constitutional Republic. Not going to be fun, not going to be pretty, but it needs to begin in earnest ASAP, and is far preferable to a continued slide of gradualism into oppression and certain annihilation. Our former guest that was on First Hour, I think she misunderstood the guys talking about, when he's talking about accelerationism, our people aren't doing acceleration. The communists, the Luciferian Bolshevik communists, are doing acceleration. Of course, that's what our webmaster meant. So, what do you think about that, Gene? Did you get that letter? What do you think about it?
I think there's a lot to be said about that. I think in the next year, I think Senile Joe and the communists are really going to show their hand on what a corrupt, rotten to the core system we really do have, and now that they control the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they have virtually no one to stop them. And the judicial system is gone. Tucker Carlson last night was talking about this woman that they've appointed in charge of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, and besides just being a total fool, she's all for affirmative action. And made one of the most stupid statements I've ever heard. So Tucker Carlson saying, all you care about is the color of the person. Doesn't matter if they're competent or not. And she says, oh, that's right, that's right. And he said, so you got a pilot that can't fly a plane, and you're going to let him fly just because of his color. And he said, what if he crashes the plane before he gets to the end of the runway? And she said, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. So this is a type of collection of idiots. It's almost like a sideshow at the carnival, you know, of all these strange, bizarre characters are going to, you know, drag out there. All right, step right up. See the two-headed lady right here. Watch this. And the characters that they're going to be bringing out. And there's nobody that's going to stop them because they'll be confirmed in the Senate. The Democrats will chair every subcommittee, and they'll pass. And then the Democrats, if it's a tie, then Kamala Harris, as the vice president, can override the tie. So, you know, you have to look at the long picture. I think probably Dr. Michael Hill is saying, in the long run, this may be a good thing. It may be the final straw that breaks the empire's back and collapses the empire. And who knows? Maybe the South can get its country back again. We get back to where we were in 1861. And people say, oh, no, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Well, I grew up, when I was in school, we had air raid drills for atomic bombs, and we had to hide under our desk, you know, and cover up our heads and all that sort of thing. I never thought that in my lifetime I'd see the Soviet Union collapse, but it did. And it wasn't from a major war or anything like that. It fell from within. It destroyed itself economically and collapsed. So who's to say that the current axis of evil empire that's going to take over in Washington won't collapse from within, and they keep printing money like they're printing monopoly money and sending trillions and trillions overseas to all these other countries. They won't give our people any, and running the debt up, and, you know, it could happen. So, yeah, he may be right, and what we need to do is have people like the League of the South or like the nationalist organizations that are ready to step in when there is a collapse and say, okay, we've been telling you this for 30 or 40 years. Now here's what we need to do, and we've got the people here that are ready to do it.
I think you make some great points there, and I think you're spot on, Gene. I certainly do. That's why you get all the doggone mail, son. But anyway, I tell you what, you sure help me carry this show. Please, excuse me, Gene is the number one guy on our show. He carries the bacon for us, man.
No. We got a lot of great people on there. I'm just glad to contribute whatever I can. And I didn't know what was going on Wednesday. I was working down at the forest home. I didn't even know all that was going on until I got home that night. And I had two or three phone calls, and people were calling me. I guess they knew that we'd been in Charlottesville, and they just assumed that I was up there in D.C. And they're going, "Are you all right? Are you all right? You weren't in the, were you in the Capitol? Were you there?" I'm going, "Well, what the heck? Why would I go to the Capitol? I don't care, fly and flip about that up there." So then I turned on the TV and saw what had happened. So, that was a peaceful protest. That wasn't a riot, you know. The news nerds in the fake news media have been telling us for 7 months that when Minneapolis is burning and Portland and Seattle and Wisconsin and Kenosha, Wisconsin and Chicago and D.C. and all these other places, those are not riots. That's not looting. Those are peaceful protests. So that was a peaceful protest Wednesday.
You got that right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because as soon as we come back from this break, we're going to continue on that, Gene.
I'm
going to ask you a couple of questions. Folks, hang on to your seat. It'll be me and Gene coming back to the next segment. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, I just want to thank you all so much. You've been so supportive, and I've got another letter around here. If I wish I could find it, I'd sure read it. And if I can't find it, if any of our listeners or donors, if we skipped it this weekend, you can rest assured we'll give you double the time next week, because I can promise you, I can't tell you how much your donations and your support means to us, even your phone calls. I've had two phone calls today from listeners and donors. I just value them so much. One of them is a lawyer. As a matter of fact, two lawyers are calling me today, and not just me. Gene and Lee. And Lee has a big following, too. We really do. We have a great brotherhood here. We don't have any big cojones here. But anyway, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take off on some of the stuff that Gene just talked about, and what we're going to do. I'm going to read these quotes, and people, you probably get sick of me reading these quotes, but there's two of my favorite quotes in the world, and these quotes are going to lead to a point. One of them here, and you know, people, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he's one of my all-time heroes. Here's what he said about the people, especially in the West. He said, a decline in courage may be the most striking feature that an outside observer notices in the West today. The Western world has lost its civic courage. Such a decline in courage is particularly noticeable among the ruling and intellectual elite, causing an impression of a loss of courage by the entire society. And I agree with that. I've read that before. And people, please don't hold it against me, because I will be reading this quote again. That's from the one and only, one of the greatest guys that ever lived, Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He spent many years in the gulags of the Soviet Union, run by the Cheka and the many secret police organizations, totally 100% run by Jews. That's right. All the greatest concentration camps in the world weren't in Germany. They weren't by white people, by Christians. They were run by Jews in the Soviet Union. Okay, here's another one he wrote, and after I get through this, it leads to a point. And this is talking about when he was referring to when Alexander Solzhenitsyn was in the concentration camps, in the Soviet Union, in the Gulag. He says, and how we burned in the camps later thinking what things would have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family, or if simply during periods of mass arrest, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs doors and at every step on the staircase, but had instead understood they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand. The organs would have quickly suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt. If we didn't love freedom enough, and even more, we had no awareness of the real situation, we purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. And Gene, I'm reading those two things right there is because I've heard, I'm probably going to catch some condemnation, but I was talking to our friend Frank White. He's a big-time attorney in Northeast. And he asked me today if he was crazy, if he was violent, if he was a warmonger, because he said that he thinks the guys that stormed the Capitol building the other day were heroes. And I said, you're damn right they're heroes. Our people that stormed the Capitol building are heroes. And I'm going to say this right here, because this man right here, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, just said it. If people had not been sitting on their butts in their apartments, you know, fearing for every knock in the downstairs hall, you know, if they would have stood up on their hind legs and fought like men, fought like pit bulldogs for their liberty, then they would have never been in the situation they were in the gulags. Here we have, and I'm going to lay this out, and I'm going to go to Eugene. Here we have in Washington, D.C., a group of pedophiles. We've referenced Inspector Jim Rothstein on the show many times. He used to come on here. We'll have to get him on again. He's a mayor in a city in Minnesota now. He's worked every area of the police in New York. He was the city police, state. He worked with the federal task force in pedophilia, missing children, and drug abuse. You know, he said at least one-third sitting members of the Congress and the Senate were stinking pedophiles. They were Satan worshipers. They're drug takers, drug dealers. There's the most corrupt filth in the United States. And they live in the halls of Congress. And they just got through stealing election right in front of our face. And they stole it. And they know we know they stole it. They know they stole it. And they're saying, what the hell are you going to do about it? So, and I'm just going to set this scenario up. What if instead of the Congress, what if you had a mafia in your neighborhood? What if you created a crack house in your neighborhood and they were kidnapping children in your city and taking these children there and raping them, sodomizing the little boys, killing them, using them for satanic sacrifice? Excuse this hack, y'all. Would you just sit there and say, well, you know, we can't get violent. Now, we can go out there outside the crack house, and we can have signs say, we don't like what's going on. We don't like that because the police, the city police, the county sheriff, and the federal police are all in cahoots with you, and they're protecting you. And we just wish you would quit sodomizing our little boys, raping our little girls, and turning them into crack whores. Would you please stop doing that? But you go on years and years and years. And in analogy to that, we have been participating. We've been protesting peaceful for years. People said, you should have had the protest peacefully. We've been protesting peaceful for years. We protested peacefully in Charlottesville. We had a permit up there to have a peaceful demonstration. We had the most peaceful thing you can possibly do. A United States election for a president, that is the epitome of a peaceful demonstration. Would they get us? They stole the election and stuck it in our face. So these people up here in Washington, D.C., they're the ones, the trouble is, there wasn't enough of them. They were going to go in there and drag those people, those crack smoking, those pedophiles, those drug dealers, and drag them out and give them their just due. I submit to you, this is my attorney, Frank Hawaii, the big-time attorney in the Northeast. He is 100% right. Those were the heroes. That's it. We've tried every peaceful mean there is, and guess what's it got? What did it get us? It's got us into, we're going to Bolshevik, Satanist, communist dictatorship, and it's here. And if we don't do something differently, what we've been doing, because what we've been doing for 50 years has not worked. I said, yes, you're right, Frank White. These guys are heroes. Back to you now, Gene. Am I right or wrong, fella?
No, I understand what you're saying. And to back that up, there was a brilliant author in Nashville, Stanley Horn. Wrote quite a few history books. The Army of Tennessee, the first book I ever read on the history of the Army of Tennessee, because everything about the war was about the Army of Northern Virginia and Lee and everything like that. That was an eye-opener. He wrote a book called The Invisible Empire, which was an authentic history of the Ku Klux Klan. And in the introduction, he was given some information as to why the Klan was formed, because, like today, the judicial system, the government system, was totally corrupt. All it was doing was bringing carpetbaggers down here and corrupt government officials after the war. And what people don't remember is the war lasted 4 years, but occupation lasted 12 years, three times as long as the war. And we were under the steel boot heel of the Yankee Army, and they could do anything they wanted to, because all of our armies had been surrendered and disarmed, thinking foolishly enough that we would sign a peace agreement and they would live up to it. Well, of course, it didn't. All they wanted was the Army of Northern Virginia and the Army of Tennessee and all the others to lay down their arms, and then they had total control over the South. So they did have. So the South then formed vigilante groups to protect themselves and protect especially the women, and the Red Shirts in South Carolina, the Knights of the White Camellia in Texas and Louisiana, and Southern Middle Tennessee and Northern Alabama, it was the Klan. So Stanley Horn was writing this history of the Klan, and and giving that brief overview of what the situation was, not unlike what it is today. And he said a great quote. He said, "Bad government makes bad citizens." So whatever has gone on in retaliation for the stolen election, for the corrupt officials that we have in Washington, the liars, that right here in Tennessee, they come to us and tell us they're conservatives. Oh, you need to vote for me. I'm a good conservative Republican. You elect them. They go to Washington, and they jump across the aisle and become the biggest liberals that ever walked the earth. And we're getting rid of Alexander, but who knows if Haggerty's going to be any better. Time will tell. So that's what he was saying, that you get bad government, bad representation in Congress, bad leadership in the different departments of the government, a corrupt judicial system, citizens are going to start taking matters into their own hands. So bad government makes for bad citizens.
I agree with you. We'll talk more about that as soon as we come back from this break here, Gene. People, hold on your seat. Me and Gene are going to hold court. I think Lee said something. He may call back in a few minutes and ask some questions. He's hot. I think he's hot to come on. Be right back, folks. Hang on your seat.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Washington, D.C. is increasing security measures around the Capitol. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser saying they're getting ready for more protests ahead of the January 20th inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden. Ken Cuccinelli is the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security. He says everything will be safe in Washington, D.C.
America can be very confident, and so can the President-elect and everybody who will be present that day. That will be a safe event from start to finish. And January 6th doesn't change that a bit. It may heighten a lot of people's attention, but we have been engaged with all of the law enforcement, including National Guard out of DOD.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. The NFL playoffs underway, the Buffalo Bills defeating the Indianapolis Colts this afternoon. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Billy Gerard here for Ocean Salmon. Ah, the new year is on its way and you're making those resolutions. One of yours this year to eat better. And you know what? Salmon should be a part of that. And the best salmon is available delivered to you from our friends at OceanSalmon.com. Chilean farm raised, sustainably raised in the cold Chilean waters. You know, it's one thing to make a commitment to eat better. The next step in that is knowing where your salmon comes from. The very best salmon comes from Chile. And that is OceanSalmon.com. Go right now. OceanSalmon.com. Use promo code ROCKSTAR15. You will get an additional pound of salmon, 15% off, and free shipping. Ocean Salmon. OSHENSALMON. OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Free shipping. An additional pound. Oh my goodness. And 15% off. OceanSalmon.com. OSHENSALMON.com. That's OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Hurry. Supplies are limited.
A state representative is facing accusations in a demonstration at the Oregon Capitol.
Protesters gathered outside the Capitol building, which was closed due to COVID restrictions last month, as lawmakers held a special session inside. Video came to light Friday of the actions of a Republican representative that allowed protesters to storm the building.
Oregon State Police has confirmed and informed us that Representative Mike Bierman did open a door to allow demonstrators into the building.
Oregon House Speaker Tina Kotek, a group kicked in doors, broke windows, and sprayed officers with chemicals, leading to a handful of arrests. Representative Nierman has not commented on the matter. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Not all Democrats are on board with President-elect Joe Biden's call to increase stimulus checks. Democratic Senator Joe Manchin on Friday said absolutely not to Biden's call for another stimulus check of $2,000 sent out to Americans. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Hello, dear Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We're getting ready to go into what our third segment. And with that, we're getting ready to go back to Gene. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes to you. I couldn't find my Constitution last week or my Declaration of Independence. It just so happened I remember where I put it. I'm going to read a couple of quotes, and then we're going to go back to what me and Gene were talking about this the protest that people said, oh, it got so violent, you know, the Trump supporters, the right-wing radicals were just, you know, raising hell. You're the first president of the United States, George Washington. That's what he said about government. I've read this one before. If you notice people, I've read a lot of the same quotes over and over because they need to be read over and over because a lot of people are like me. I learn by, you know, repetition. But some things need to never be forgotten. Here's what President George Washington said about government. He said, and I quote, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Never for a moment should it be left to irresponsible action." Okay, and he said, it's not here. But in another quote, he also said, so in matters of politics, and I'm speaking from memory now, speak not to me of confidence in men. Instead, let us bind them down with the chains of a constitution, at least they permit commit mischief. And that's going to be pretty close to the with the original quote. What he's saying, you can't trust men, you can't trust government. He just got through saying the government is not good. He said it's very dangerous. It's like it's a dangerous serpent, fearful master. How much plainer can you get to, can you get than that? And here's some, here's another quote. This comes from the Declaration of Independence, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to go down to about the third clause, and it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights," this is why government was made, was invented, "that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government." And here's the punchline, folks, "that when any form of government becomes destructive of these sins, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." Okay, they said it right there. Gene referenced the Civil War. We've been referencing the Declaration, you know, the Constitution. It's not we the people that created havoc and sinned and created mischief and violated laws. Not the South in the Civil War. The South in the Civil War, Gene mentioned the Civil War, so we'll bring that back up. The South was doing what was totally legal by the preamble of the Constitution, which I consider it to be the Declaration of Independence. It's right there in the Declaration of Independence. Our government, the United States government, as we in you know, the so-called Union, was not working. So we did what the law allowed. It says right there. I just read it to you. We were allowed to break away from the stinking government, to reorganize other governments. Okay, and I also submit to you, in Washington, D.C., I'm going to go back to my analogy of a crack house again. What we have in Washington, D.C., and we have the worst, lowest form of crack house. We have a bunch of sodomites, a bunch of pedophiles, a bunch of homosexuals, drug dealers. I mean, they're Satan worshipers. They're sacrificing kids to the devil. Every kind of filth you can possibly imagine. And they've completely taken over our government. A government in the United States, the federal government, is just nothing but a thugocracy. So we, the people, we're just supposed to sit down here and continue doing the same crap over and over and over. And it shows, oh, well, vote. Go to the ballot box and vote. That's how you do it, peaceable. People, they've been stealing these elections for years. It's come out, and I'm going to shut the hell up in just a minute and go back to Gene. It's come out that they've been rigging these elections for years and years and years, not only this country, but in Germany. I mean, how the hell do you think you get a Jewish Marxist like that Merkel elected over in a country with 90% white? They've been running rigging these elections for years. So we're just supposed to sit here and let our whole country turn into a crack house, you know, and because we can't get violent? That's a crock. That's an absolute crock. We have to do what it takes. You know, we have to get righteous anger. We're supposed to defend ourselves. So I submit to you again, these guys here working at desperation, one of the few big criticisms I have, Gene, with Trump, is when he said he was going to march down to the Capitol building, he was going to meet, he told him to march down to the Supreme Court or the Capitol building, he'd meet them there. Well, he didn't. All he had to do, Gene, I'm going to shut up. All the president had to do, if he'd have called the people that were Washington, D.C., that half a million, million, how many they ever had, if he'd have called them to action that day and put out a call nationally for all the patriots in the United States of America to come together to go to overthrow these clowns in the Congress, in the Senate, that have stole this election and institute new governments that is the most, you know, like the Declaration of Independence said, this most pleasing to us. That's what Trump could have done. That's where he failed. He blew his last chance when he didn't put forth the call to we the people, the United States of America, the patriots, the constitutional militia of the several states is we the people. I think the Constitution says, these Federalist Papers says all men from like 16 to 54. Anyway, I'm going to quit my rant. I'm back to you, Gene. You take off on what I said, brother.
Well, I think there were a lot of people that agree with you on that. For instance, Thomas Jefferson said the tree of liberty must, from time to time, be watered with the blood of tyrants and patriots alike. And when it gets so bad that physical force is the only thing you have left, sometimes that's what you have to go to. Well, the patron saint of the whole country, His Holiness Saint Abraham Lincoln the Pious, and play the background music, Battle Hymn of the Repugnant, even said that any people anywhere have a right to overthrow their existing form of government and choose a new one that suits them better. This is a most sacred and a most inalienable right. Lincoln said that. But then when the South did it, he changed his mind. I think between the time when he was in Congress and made that quote and the time he, and the time that he became president, he had been listening to the Eagles, Hotel California. And you can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. So, you know, that's just the duplicity of our government. You know, they talk a good game until it comes down to them having to follow the rules and submit to the will of the people. That then when they have to do that, No. That's anarchy. That's terrorism. That's civil insurrection. That's, you know, that as long you can't do that. You might interrupt our $1 billion payouts we're getting from big tech and big banks and you know, the ADL and the Anti-Defamation League and all of these others that have bought the politicians and hold them in their pocket. So it's, you know, you talk about we have a constitution, we have laws, but they're only on paper, Eddie. And, you know, you can wad them up and start a fire with them. That's all that paper's good for. That paper's no good unless there are people willing to follow those rules that we've laid out on that piece of paper and enforce those rules. And when you have people that steal elections, that come up with all these contrived things like, well, we can't get people out because they might contract the virus, and we have to have semi-truckloads of mail-in ballots that appear at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the whole truckload is for Joe Biden. Does any fool really think that that was a legal election? I mean, can anybody with a half a grain of sense sit there with a straight face and tell you that was a legal election? The will of the people had been brought forth. It had been done. So, you know, these cities are all corrupt. They always are. And you go back to Georgia stealing the presidential election and then stealing the two senatorial elections, and you look at these maps that they have of the counties of all these states, and the states are entirely red all across the country, except the blue is in the cities. And the cities have gotten so many people in those areas, like the five metropolitan counties around Atlanta in North Georgia. Illinois is a red state, except for Cook County. Chicago, it carries the whole state. So, and there, these cities run by liberal Democrats, funded by the Jews. They do every kind of dirty, underhanded trick that they can to steal the votes of all the people in the rest of the state. And it's always been that way. You know, you talk about Richard Daley's machine in Chicago and how corrupt that was. And everybody laughed about it and knew it was. And, you know, they just made a joke about it. And then the joke has always been the boy talking about his grandfather in Chicago that had voted Republican his whole life until he died, and then he started voting Democrat. So that's what we're dealing with. And I don't know that we would ever be able to go in and get that rooted out without a total collapse of the government. They're so well entrenched.
You may be right, and we'll talk about that some more, Gene, as soon as we come back in this next break, fellas.
Hang on, little people. We're going back to, golly, it's going back to our last segment. When we come back, this hour has really flown.
See you in a few minutes.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Go ahead, make my day.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on. We're going back into our last and final segment for tonight. We have a couple of callers tonight, Gene. We got Patrick from, he's calling in tonight. What you got for us, Patrick? Quickly.
I'm monitoring the Suitlanders down there in South Africa, and they have a couple of guys that are pushing a secession movement, and you can't get any traction with the government, with the ANC. They're doing it through the international community. Now, not the UN. You need two, according to Hein Marx, you need two countries to recognize you as legitimate. And that's to put the door. And then you need a petition with the people, their will of the people to separate. But you're not going to get that, not 2 million, they can't meet it. But if they get under attack with a civil war, then they can go ahead and just do it. Over in our neck of the woods over here, in the civil war, they ran out all the state governments and they put in a federal. Look alike, even the states that didn't, like Maryland and Florida, didn't even participate. They evacuated all the state governments and installed a military-style government. And that's what we call, deconstruct. They never reconstructed it and gave it back to us on paper. And we now know that we have this on paper to prove it. But we need numbers again. And, that's a long story, but people that are into that tend to do, to what's called reconstructing our government. They took it away. We're trying to reconstruct it. We know what they did. I'll leave it at that. But we've been defrauded. Lincoln, they knew what they were doing. They stripped us of all of our power and they installed what they call a de facto government. They rolled us all up into a trust fund and they never reconstructed anything. As a matter of fact, we're still under martial law. You can call the Congressional Research Service and ask them, are we still under martial law? Are they ever repealed the martial law? And they will tell you no. So, we're still, every 2 years they have to Congress has to say, declare war again. So what are they doing? War on drugs, war on terror, and they continually keep doing that. And it's all, we're not allowed to know all these things. But people have woken up, and we got the internet now. We can research the documents. We know what they did, and it's all coming about. Believe it or not, there's a lot of states that are coming on and reconstituting with our actual government, which is a confederacy.
I think 17 of them.
There's a lot. They have three constitutions. The original one was in 1787. That was a holding company. We just come together as a confederacy, a fellowship. And then we got 1789, we contracted with the British, and they ran our 19 numerary powers. And then we contracted with Rome, and it was called, in New York City, D.C., it was called New Rome, and that's 1791. It's another contract. I got you,
Patrick.
Okay.
You make a lot of good points, Patrick. You really do, and you always do. But you're really on fire tonight, fella. We're kind of backed up. So listen, call back in some other time, anytime you want to, Patrick. Thank you so much for calling in, fella. We got another call in. We got Buddy calling in tonight, and so how you doing tonight, Mr. Buddy?
Doing mighty fine, Eddie. And listen, I was glad to hear you and Gene cover so much important information relative to our so-called Constitution. It is indeed a dead letter. And as Gene pointed out, that old log splitter from up in Illinois put the initial crack in there to initiate the total destruction of our Constitution. And some years back in church, it was pretty close to Independence Day, the preacher made the statement talking about the Constitution that it told the government how to control the people. So he and I had a hot conversation after church, because reading the Constitution, it was designed to control the government. And many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, they got concerned that the Constitution did not grant certain specific rights, and they were afraid that the Constitution could be interpreted to deprive us of freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, and so forth. So they said, okay, we'll fix that. And that's where the Bill of Rights came from. They are not actually the amendments. They were introduced and actually added to the Constitution. That's why they say the first 10 Bill of Rights. And so they put that in there specifically to protect our God-given rights. And if you will read the Constitution, the so-called Ninth Amendment, it more or less says, after they had talked about the first 8 up there, that if we have forgot any other basic rights, the government can't do that either. Please read the Ninth Amendment sometime. And one reason that it's probably stored in the Constitution's in the sub-basement of the Smithsonian gathering dust right now, because it does tell, it does control government. And our so-called legislators and the various branches, they don't want to be controlled, so they had to get rid of the Constitution. And it is totally ignored unless they want to use some provision to penalize somebody else. And beyond the first 10 amendments, most of the other amendments have added to the destruction of the spirit of the Constitution. We've got so many amendments to it that it's almost nullified itself. So I just did want to point that out, and I appreciate you all bringing all that to the attention of your listening audience.
Well, thank you, Mr. Buddy. I've got to come visit you pretty soon. And on the way over there, I'll get some of that good old coffee over there, old Shadrach's Coffee and over there in Jonesboro. Thank you, Mr. Buddy. God bless you, Mr. Buddy. Thank you for calling in.
You okay, thank
anytime
you very
you
much.
Want to. Yes, sir.
All right,
Gene, what do you think? What do you think about that, Gene, what Mr. Buddy just said?
Well, he made some good points there about the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, and that was George Mason. And Virginia would not sign the new Constitution or have any part of it until that first 10 amendments were added to it. And George Mason gets a lot of the credit for bringing that up. And then another thing that our previous caller had talked about, South Africa and trying to have a secession movement there with the Zuidlanders, and they have to be recognized by two foreign countries. Unfortunately, I'll guarantee you one country that will never recognize them, and that's the United States, because the United States
right.
Stabbed them in the back with South Africa and brought in Mandela and the African National Communist Party and to take over South Africa, and we just turned our back on the whites in South Africa and have let them be slaughtered. We won't even give them refugee status to get out of there, and so they're stuck. And this rotten country that we have here will do absolutely nothing to help the Afrikaners to get out of there or defend themselves either. So he made a good point about, you know, having the two foreign countries recognize them to have recognition as an independent nation or seceded nation. But I'll guarantee you the United States will never do it. And they wouldn't have done it under Trump, and they sure won't do it under Senile Joe. That's totally out of the question there. And one more thing on our Senile Joe, our idiot-elect. He was ranting and raving on the camera the other day about the disturbance at the Capitol, and he said, well, they just let them in there. If it had been Black Lives Matter, they wouldn't have let them do that. They wouldn't have let them do that. No, that nappy-headed mayor they got for Washington, D.C., would have told the police to stand down. They'd have let Black Lives Matter go in there. There would be nothing left of the Capitol now. It would just be a burned-out shell if they'd let Black Lives Matter, you know, told the police to stand down and let Black Lives Matter go in there, because that's what they've done in all these major cities. We wouldn't have a Capitol at all now. They broke a few doors, put their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, but if Black Lives Matter had been in there, there wouldn't have been anything left in there after that. So it just shows you what an absolute fool Biden is. And, you know, it's going to have some hilarious quotes over the next 4 years, if you last that long. I see a time where probably in 6 months to a year, Senile Joe's going to be wandering down Pennsylvania Avenue naked asking, where's the shower? So, you know, he's not long for putting him in a padded room where he can't hurt himself. So, you know, it's if it wasn't so tragic, it'd be comical.
After you got that right. You know, we just got a text in, Gene, from James in Washington State. He said, I loved it. This is for Buddy. I loved it when Buddy called someone the old log splitter from Illinois on Blue River tonight.
Yeah.
He said, I presume he was talking about Honest Abe Lincoln.
Yes.
I'll tell you.
Buddy's a lot nicer than I am. The things I have to say for Lincoln, we really can't say over the air. that would get us suspended off the air. So, Buddy's a fine Southern gentleman. He's a lot nicer fellow than I am, for sure.
He's a lot nicer. Maybe we can get, you know what? Maybe we can get Sam. He's such a whiz. Maybe he can get us on a special internet where we can say anything we want to without the FCC getting us. But, you know,
we can make our point. We can make our point. We don't have to be like Antifa and be vulgar. We can make the point.
We have another brother, you know him, Rich. He texts in on another phone. Believe it or not, I'm getting educated. I got two phones now. My wife
all right,
another
man.
Phone.
Don't hurt yourself.
But he says somebody must have said pronounced it Sightlanders wrong. But it's he's texted in and said it's spelled Sightlanders for the organization over in South Africa.
Yeah.
But you know what, Gene?
Well,
that's
now,
one of the
Rich
I tell you
has
what,
been over there. So Rich, I tell you what, you talk about getting a great guest on the program. Get Rich and Janice on there sometime, because they've been there, and I mean they've seen it up close and personal. And Simon Roach had them come over to South Africa. That would be an excellent program to have them tell you exactly what's going on over there, what they saw, and the criminal activity, and how everything is locked down, boarded up, and you know, you're living almost in a combat zone. So just as a suggestion for a future program somewhere down the road, Rich is an excellent speaker, and he would be a great program for you.
Yep, you got that right. You know, we had Janice with Miss Cornelia Miller about 5 weeks ago. We need to set up a whole half hour at least with those two.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely
They're great.
Right.
They're fantastic people.
Well, you know what, Gene? This hour's gone too fast, man. Thanks for coming on tonight. We've run completely out of time, as you can tell by the music. But I'll have to be talking to you again. Hope maybe you can come on next week. I hope you can.
We will
people,
try to.
Thank you so much for listening tonight. God bless you, people from Blood River. You really support us big time tonight. And we do earmark that money you send for us to go to Charlottesville. If we don't go there, if some way, if we have some miracle we don't have to go, we'll earmark it with something as best as possible, some road program. People, thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, audience. Good night. We'll see you this time, same time next week. God willing.